There's a fantastic scene at the beginning of the Lord of the Rings story between the two ultimate heroes, Frodo and his best friend, Sam. Sam has never left his village and the surrounding Shire area. But as he comes to the edge of that Shire, he suddenly stops and he turns and he says to his friend Frodo, "If I take one more step, it'll be the farthest away from home I've ever been." Frodo replies, "Come on, Sam. Remember what Bilbo used to say. It's a dangerous business going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." Well, if you're like me, that idea of taking a new step into something unfamiliar and uncertain, maybe even a little bit dangerous, is exciting and scary. I love the idea of adventure, a journey, a new story. I'm just not sure I like the idea of being stretched and challenged as much. At the end of the day, what Sam and Frodo were invited into is the same story each of us are called to, growing and experiencing life in such a way that it changes us from the inside out in ways we could never have imagined. It's what the Bible describes as wisdom. We're wrapping up our series called Gaining a Heart of Wisdom. We've been looking at some wisdom ideas from the ancient book of Proverbs. A proverb is a short sentence that's drawn from long experience. The journey of wisdom doesn't just happen instantly, because when you peel back the layers, you'll see that there's actually a long process and a story behind it. One that has some failures and challenges and risks along the way. And we don't get there overnight, but we can all take some new steps in that direction. Today, we're going to look at a wisdom idea that's continuing to shape and challenge me in my own life and story. Like Sam, I've had to leave some familiar things behind and take some new, sometimes uncomfortable steps forward. But it's also a journey that's bringing growth and wisdom into my life. We're going to look at the idea that wisdom is gained as we live a life of justice and generosity towards the poor. Proverbs 2 says it like this: "For the Lord grants wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy." There's a lot of wisdom to be drawn from these verses, especially this call towards a life that is right, just, and fair. A wise life is shaped by generosity and justice towards the poor. When we use the language of the poor and poverty, we're connecting to a global story and a human experience. Poverty defines the socioeconomic reality for millions upon millions of people in our world. According to the World Bank Group, which is an international organization that's focused on global poverty, we live in a world where 1 out of 10 people live in extreme poverty, earning less than $2 a day. We live in a world where 1 billion people go to bed hungry every night, where 27 million kids are enslaved through sexual trafficking and forced labor, where every 20 seconds a child dies from a preventable disease. I don't know about you, but when I hear stats like that, I feel overwhelmed. And it can feel just like big numbers on a page. But these are actual people and faces and stories living in our world right now. Here's the thing. We don't even need to go far away to see poverty at work in our own city and neighborhoods. A study led by the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives showed that our city of Vancouver has the second highest rate of working poor in our country. In fact, just 3 kilometers from our building here in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood, is one of the poorest postal codes in the nation, the downtown East Side. A daily visual reminder of poverty in our own backyard. But poverty goes far beyond just an economic reality. Poverty is about systems and structures that keep people from flourishing in life. It's found in racism, bigotry, prejudice, misogyny, gender inequality. Poverty happens anytime a person is prevented from moving forward and flourishing in life. Gustavo Gutierrez, an academic and founder of something called liberation theology, said that in the final analysis, poverty means death. Whether it's a lack of food and housing, or the inability to get healthcare or education, or being exploited or losing dignity as a person, poverty means death. And that's why, as people who are trying to grow in faith and wisdom, we're called to do something about it. We're called to live with generosity and justice. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would often say that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. What he meant is that the story of God, the story found in the pages of our Bible, points to and leads us towards flourishing and justice in our world. It is a journey. It takes time. But if we can take steps like Sam into new places of understanding and action, our hearts will grow in wisdom and love in new and unexpected ways. And so today, I want to talk about 2 realities that will help move us towards living a life of generosity and justice. In my own life, these 2 realities are continuing to shape me and grow me into a life of wisdom. The first reality is that generosity and justice reflect God's heart. It matters to God. Proverbs 14:31 says that those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor favors and honors him. Right from the very beginning of our human story, God has always demonstrated his heart and his love for the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed. And that narrative arc and bend towards justice and flourishing is found in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, where we see people created in God's own image, human beings that bear and reflect something good because they bear and reflect God. And because of that, every person is endowed with worth and is to be treated with dignity. To be wise is to be like God, because God is generous and compassionate and just. So when we don't engage with people who are poor, or we support systems and structures that devalue human beings, those actions and attitudes insult Creator God. To be wise is to walk in God's footsteps. Later on, in the Old Testament story, when the nation of Israel was coming out of its Egyptian slavery and oppression, God gave them certain laws that were to protect the vulnerable and poor among them. Exodus 22 says, "Don't mistreat or oppress foreigners in any way. Remember, you yourselves were once foreigners. Don't exploit a widow or an orphan. If you exploit them in any way and they cry out to me, then I will certainly hear their cry." And so laws that were rooted in compassion and care for the poor and those on the margins actually became central to the Hebrew faith. As we continue following that narrative arc, through the prophet Isaiah, God says to his people these words, "Learn to do good." Learn to do good. That's gaining a life of wisdom. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. And in perhaps one of the greatest declarations about justice and generosity ever recorded, we hear these words. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so throughout the entire Old Testament story, we see this theme and action and arc towards a story of justice and generosity, that God's people are called to look after those on the margins, to care for the vulnerable and the poor, to advocate for justice, to be a voice against oppression. And so to live generously and justly is to reflect God's own heart. To become wise is to be like him. The story doesn't end there. When we get to the New Testament, God himself takes on human skin and he moves into the neighborhood. He chooses to become poor. He enters the world through the margins, born in an animal feeding trough to a young, poor teenage girl. In the person of Jesus, we see the best expression and reflection of God's heart towards the poor, the broken, the hurting, the needy. Jesus' first sermon is centered on the way and the very reality that generosity and justice reflects God's heart. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And so Jesus goes around from town to town, feeding the hungry, healing the broken, bringing freedom to people who are oppressed, forgotten, and neglected. Justice and generosity is absolutely central to Jesus' teaching and life because it reflects God's own heart. And for the rest of the biblical narrative, we see the followers of Jesus continuing that arc towards generosity and justice. It says of the early church, they shared everything that they had, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. If we're to grow into a life that is filled with wisdom, we need to be confident in the knowledge that living a life of generosity and justice actually matters. It matters because it reflects the heart of our Creator God. The second reality is that living a life of generosity and justice changes our hearts. It brings wisdom and understanding and change into our lives. And so when you start coming awake to the first reality, that it matters to God, it starts to awaken our own heart. And it can be uncomfortable because a lot of times the thoughts and assumptions we've been holding on to, maybe our entire lives, gets challenged and stretched and questioned. We may not know where to take those thoughts or even how we should respond. But that's okay. It's part of the process of growing and leaning into a life of wisdom and generosity and justice, of stepping into a new place. And just to be clear, I may be talking about this today, but I certainly haven't arrived. I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. I'm still fighting my own biases and assumptions. I'm still uncomfortable a lot of the time. But I'm committed to the process because I want to experience a life that is filled with God's wisdom and love for others. If my heart is changing, I know yours can as well. The reality is, my story can't be told without acknowledging my own privilege. Growing up in a white, middle-class family, I've never experienced poverty or injustice. And so it was super easy for me to start making assumptions and form biases and hold prejudices about people I didn't know, about situations I couldn't understand or imagine. It's been said that when we're not hungry for justice, it's usually because we're too full of privilege. And that certainly holds true to my own story. I'm ashamed by the thoughts and mindset I held and the words I would speak against people who weren't like me. But then some things began to change that started me on a course correction. One of them was traveling. It started to break down a lot of the walls and prejudices I was holding on to. Because when you see the realities of injustice and poverty that so many people experience on a daily basis, it can't help but begin changing your heart. The place that broke me most deeply was the country of Moldova. Most of us wouldn't know how to find it on a map. I certainly didn't. But it's a little country that's tucked between the Ukraine and Romania, where 80% of its people live in poverty. Drug and alcohol addiction is rampant. Thousands of its kids are considered social orphans. It means their parents have either left them to go find work in another country, or else they've been completely abandoned because their parents couldn't look after them anymore. The orphanages are in rough shape, worse than you can imagine. And when those kids age out of the orphanage at 18, they're given a bus ticket and 30 euros to start a new life. It's the beginning of hell for many of them because they become prime targets for sex traffickers. In fact, Moldova is the human trafficking capital of Europe, where almost 10% of its women and children are missing. I've had the opportunity to visit Moldova a few times, and I heard and saw firsthand the horrifying stories that's the reality for so many. And it began to break me open. And for a long time, I couldn't talk about it without weeping. But there's also stories of hope and love and generosity and justice at work. I met a young 15-year-old girl named Katya, or Kate in English. Our daughter's name is Katie. So meeting this Kate for the first time emotionally wrecked me inside. Kate was abandoned as a baby. She's malnourished, tummy extended, suffered from seizures. But by God's grace, she was brought to one of the very few Christian orphanages in the country. They were not like the government-run ones. This one that she was in is a place made up of multiple homes where kids are raised in family units. Kate was taken in by an amazing couple who were unable to have any biological children themselves, but instead they ended up taking in five other kids just like her. This beautiful, loving, caring, generous home. Kate is smart, beautiful, speaks incredible English. She cares for her siblings. She sings on her church's worship team. And most importantly, she absolutely leaks the love of Jesus. Part of my own story towards change has happened as I've met people and heard their stories and saw their reality. And it's helped to break open my own privileged heart. I had the opportunity to complete a master's degree at a school focused on social justice issues. I began to learn about all kinds of oppressive systems that are against the poor and vulnerable. I was challenged in my theology and life experiences and my prejudices. And as I began learning about God's heart for the poor and this movement and arc towards generosity and justice, I couldn't help but feel this shifting take place in my own heart. And over the years, our family has tried to take some small steps in this direction. When we had our church startup a few years ago, we got involved in our local community. We supported a lunch feeding program at a public school where one of our congregants worked as a teacher, where kids were often coming to school without breakfast or lunch. Other times we would get our entire church community together on a Sunday, where instead of a service, we would make sandwiches that could be given out. Those things seem so small and insignificant, but these are the moments that teach us a little bit of what it means to follow in God's footsteps, to reflect Him. It's a progressive journey. It doesn't just happen. But as you and I immerse ourselves in the reality that it matters to God, and as we take small steps of love in living it out, we begin to change. I love how Austin Channing, an author, puts it. When we are filled with love for other people, injustice becomes intolerable. Carlos Rodriguez, a social justice advocate, says, "Justice is love out loud." So what's your next step? Just as Sam had to make a decision to leave the familiar behind and to take a step into a new place, we're called to do the same. What steps towards generosity and justice will you take today? You may already be living a life that reflects wisdom and generosity and justice. So keep going, take another step, and then take another and another. But maybe you're not sure of what that looks like in your life. Mother Teresa often said, "Help one person at a time." And always start with the person nearest you. Maybe it's your neighbor or someone you see regularly standing on a street corner. Smile, say hi, learn their name, listen to their story, help as you can. Another step is to simply begin with what bothers you. What makes you mad or sad? Is it hunger, poverty, violence? Is it a certain place in the world? Is it your city? What is it that leads you to say, this simply can't be? Choose one issue and immerse yourself in it. Ask the hard questions. Read. Watch a TED Talk about the topic. You can check out Brian Stevenson from the Equal Justice Initiative or Gary Haugen from the International Justice Mission. They spent their lives advocating for justice and for those on the margins. But learn, listen, and see where God may lead you. At 10th Church, we want to respond with love and justice to those around us. We're trying to live out the vision that we're a community of spiritual transformation that seeks social justice for all. We have the opportunity to live that life of justice and generosity right here in our own community. Mim Wickett, one of our amazing volunteers here, and others are walking alongside refugees who are figuring out a new life in Canada. We'd love to encourage you to get to know a refugee family, hear their stories, learn from them, because it will change you. On December 1st, 10th is hosting an online Just 58 event. It's where we take 58 minutes to help equip you in justice issues through media and discussion. This next one will focus on our work in Cambodia. We have our Oasis Cafe and Kits Cares Cafe, where we share community meals and build friendships with people from all different backgrounds, and where we try to live out generous hospitality. These are practical ways to get involved, but more importantly, they're ways to get to know others. If you'd like more information about any of these opportunities, or you're ready to take a next step, we'd invite you to visit 10th.ca/global and 10th.ca/local. But start. Take a new step today. It doesn't have to be big or spectacular, but just do something, because you never know where you might be swept off to. Wisdom is gained as we live a life of justice and generosity towards the poor. Ours is not the task of fixing the entire world at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. We have a chance to bend the arc towards justice and generosity. Let me conclude with a prayer by St. Brendan of Clonfert. Help me to journey beyond the familiar and into the unknown, give me the faith to leave old ways and to break fresh ground with you. Amen.